From Moraville comes the news of Tuesday, 26 June 2012. The weather report shows a high of 34 degrees Celsius, southwesterly winds 15 to 25 kilometers per hour, tonight a low of 29, and possibly a thunderstorm and welcome rain. Today featured is an interview with longtime Oravillian B, expounding on the current situation in Oraville, the problem of religion and authority, of why, seemingly, Oravillians appear to need a leader to give an okay and tell them how to proceed.
Good morning, Marlenka. It's so nice to be here with you at the end of June in probably the hottest summer ever, 2012, and to talk about Oraville. What impressed me the most is that we had a meeting last week with Mr. Doshi, the architect from Hyderabad, who came, and he is the chairman of the Town Development Council. And at this meeting were present a wide variety of people from the community. I think many people who never sit in the same room together. So it was very interesting to see the attitudes and all the things that emerged during that discussion. As being an old student of religion, on the one hand, and also an old Oraville type, and remembering the past and now seeing where we were at this stage in time. So the things that emerged were to, anybody can and everybody does talk about Oraville and criticize Oraville and have their own theories.
Maybe we should interject at this point the purpose of this particular meeting, why Mr. Doshi had come.
Yes, Mr. Doshi had come because of the crisis in town planning, and he had also wanted to see his role in as the chairman of this Town Development Council, which theoretically is actually part of L'Avenir. It is L'Avenir for outside.
And L'Avenir is town planning.
And L'Avenir is town planning, exactly. He had actually sent a questionnaire out to ask people, what do you want for Oraville? You know, what is your idea of the city and all these things? He had sent some questionnaires, and he had asked that the various working groups respond first in writing so that he could go over that on his own and then meet with these people in various meetings. Some meetings were technical meetings with specific groups, and then he also had a larger meeting with the whole community. And that last meeting was where people from all parts of Oraville were there, you know, ordinary community members, as well as people in L'Avenir and the architects and interested consultants and all the rest were there. So that's why it was a particularly interesting exchange. And what emerged, some of the old, I would call them old mental patterns that we all come with and from our cultures, from our backgrounds, our religious beliefs, wanting to have some sort of authority that will decide for us. And I also saw again Oraville's groping with how to make decisions, how to move forward without an outside figure. And then when Oraville, when the working groups are in conflict, and conflict is natural, but we don't have the processes, we haven't yet discovered exactly how to work together. And the lack of communication and all the rest is rampant in Oraville. So what we're trying to do, what this meeting was trying to do, was deal with this. Kind of disheartening bit at the beginning was Mr. Doshi himself, who said very frankly he didn't want to be there. And he didn't want this role, and he didn't want to really jump into the Oraville scene at all. And he had a pain in his foot. He was very articulate about him not wanting to be here. Yet then you got a response from some of the Oravillians saying, oh, no, 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 we want you, we need you, we have to have you, and all of this from the other side, which also was, I think, uncalled for. because here's a man who is in his golden years, and he has prestige, he has everything he wants, and for him to put his foot into the Oroville quagmire, I would say, is he knows enough, and he's been through enough that he doesn't want to go through that again, and he's saying no. But what it brings out for me is our wanting to have somebody to vindicate our process from outside. But that outside person, of course, does not have the Oroville experience, can't really grasp what Oroville means. I mean, intellectually, of course, they have an understanding. He has a background in Sri Aurobindo and the Mother. He understands about Oroville, but he's a town planner. He's an architect, and he still thinks, of course, in terms of Chandrika or Brasilia or town planning or things like that. Of course, he realizes Oroville is special. But I don't think he realizes quite how special Oroville is and what we need to do here, not him. And of course he can act as a consultant. Of course he can say, look at some plans we do. But he cannot be the authority. And you see, when we started out, we had Mother as an authority, and she was an absolute authority. And people respected her to a certain degree, but still they did what they wanted. And we had all those conflicts with Navajata and between architects and everyone that went on for years, even while the Mother was here. And the Mother had to insist all the time, sending these messages, no more lying, no more committees, no more useless talk, acts, not words, you know, all these things that everybody knows. She was trying to get the Aurovillians to do it for themselves and to come together and to unite. And because it's about human unity. Oroville's about human unity, and it's not about some guru telling us what to do. And of course, Mother is still here. Mother's still working. And so when Mother left her body, Navajata thought he was in charge and, you know, made a mess, tried to implement his spiritual Disneyland, which was, created a disaster here and was a law and order problem and all the rest of that history that we know so well. And Oroville's still traumatized from that to a certain extent. And then, of course, we had Roger. So Roger did a great work, but he did his work. And his work was to be the architect of the city, but he was not an absolute guru. He was not the one to decide everything, and it had to be done in consultation. So now Roger is gone, so who do we have? So do you want to push someone like Mr. Doshi into that position? Of course not. We don't want to do that, and we can't do that. And in the state of evolution where we are now, if we do that, it will be disastrous. And we have seen already examples of this. I mean, Mr. Doshi's there in Hyderabad or Delhi, and people rush over there to see him to consult about Oroville. People have gone there and had meetings in his offices. We had a project in Oroville, just as an example. We had this housing project called the Transit Lounge, which went through the Oroville process after a lot of struggle.
What was the origin of creating something called the Transit Lounge?
Yes, this was to create some temporary housing to address the present crisis that we have in housing. It was an experimental thing. And it was about to begin, and then someone went to Doshi and complained about this project, and Doshi stopped it. And so then we have the strange phenomenon of Doshi coming back to Oroville and restudying this project. And now, from what I've heard, he's saying, yes, it's a fine project. Yeah, go ahead with it. So we have this terrible kind of disconnect. So obviously the planning for Oroville has to happen in Oroville by the Orovillians. And they can draw on all the consultation, all the expertise, wherever it is in the world, is a wonderful resource. But they can't make the decisions. We have to make the decisions. And we have a residence assembly process that, the residence assembly service is doing an incredible job trying to get the community involved in the process. But you see, even somebody like Mr. Doshi, the community came up with a process called the Dream Catchers, for example. And they studied a lot of the town planning and a lot of this, and they came up with some proposals. And Mr. Doshi, in the meeting, he dismissed that. You know, all the time they're asking for feedback, and they're asking for community participation. Here was a very informed piece of community participation that now has just been dismissed by him as naive. That was his word, naive. And he made some analogies that were very disparaging for the actual work that these people did. And there's no need for that. See, we're not in an adversarial kind of approach where people talk about the religion of the trees. You know, that word was used at the meeting, the religion of the trees. People who are saying that, of course, are saying it from the point of view of the religion of the city or city development or something like that. So this religious mentality, this belief in certain structures or systems, it came up very clearly because Doshi at one point spoke about the line. He used this word, the line, the sacred line. And he's talking about the master plan, and he's talking about the galaxy plan, and he's talking about it as a yantra. And of course, if you deviate from the yantra, then the yantra has no effect. So to talk about, to use a religious symbol like that, to make the galaxy into a religious symbol is, of course, an illusion. It's a distortion that will cause a lot of problems. And, of course, it came out, right? It came out in the road where we have some trees along the side of the, or in the road where people are saying, they're in the middle of the road and people are going to be killed. And this is, on and on like this. That is, ridiculous and childish and all the rest. We really have to get over. And I think we can get over it as people understand, as they communicate with each other, if there's more transparency and these groups have to talk together.
On this subject of the trees and the road, I find, now you say communicate with one another. I was speaking with somebody the other day, and this person was saying, but the trees are in the middle of the road. And it made me see how people don't really look and see. The trees are definitely not in the middle. They're touching one side of the road. And at that point, the road has enlarged across from the trees. It's come down to a conflict between them and us, the Greenbelt people and the city people. And the city is to be a city of trees. The Greenbelt has buildings. Obviously, it has to be a unified situation here.
See, any inherent conflict in having a green city and having these forms, these energy forms. You see, the galaxy is such an amazing and wonderful symbol. You see how well it fits Auroville, because it's the galaxy. What we're trying to do in Auroville is bring heaven down on Earth. So we're bringing the solar system down symbolically on to Auroville, and the town plan follows that. We have Mater Mandir in the center. We have a sun. We have a new sun breaking forth, and we have the Mater Mandir. We have that force field in the center, and then all around the Mater Mandir swirls the planets and the city.
And the trees.
Trees are living organisms. You see, many people who weren't here in the early years don't realize the desert that was here and how essential the trees were and are, and how we, everybody, nobody, there was no question we started planting trees. There was no town plan that said you plant trees. People just naturally started planting trees. And we really put a huge effort into it, and we see the transformation today. We have created, a biosphere here that is livable. Before, it was a very difficult struggle to survive on this plateau. Now that has shifted because of the trees. And so you can imagine, and I found it in myself, I did many things in Auroville, like tree planting things that were devastated or not respected by others and taken away. It's very, very difficult thing when you put your life into a forest and then people come along, they have no respect for it. They want to put a road through the middle of it. There's no consideration. You're not consulted. It's a whole dynamic that we have to come to as a community. So it's really about community. It's not about, the where the road goes or where the trees go. It's about community, and it's about agreeing. And the step we have to make is what the mother, I think, always insisted on. This is to get out of the mind into a more psychic level so that we start to understand from a little bit of a, let's say, higher viewpoint. To get out of the religious mentality where my beliefs, whatever they are about ecology or about development or about how people should live together, are not dogma, that all has to go, and we start fresh. We start fresh every day in some kind of spontaneous, childlike way where we do use the best technology available. And, you know, to put these fiber optic cable all around Oroville following the Crown Road, fantastic. We have to do it, and everybody would agree to that. But then if somebody who's doing that wants to take out my forest or a significant part of my forest to do it, well, then that's another question. And then we have to sit down together. We had a great group of architects and town planners come to Oroville. I think it was just about a year ago. They gave us a design process where everybody who's involved in a major decision like that, they're all together in one room. All the stakeholders are there. They start from the beginning. Okay, we have to reach this goal. We're going to do this road, we're going to do this forest, whatever it is, and step by step, everybody goes along till we get a consensus, and then it's done. The way we're doing it now, where one group is trying to impose on the other, where we have confrontational politics, it's absurd, and, you know, it's the past, and of course it has to go, otherwise we don't have Oroville, we have, you know, just another town with a bunch of quarreling people. Because the Residents' Assembly is the basis of our policy in Oroville. It's an egalitarian society, and everything has to more or less emerge from the grassroots. So, you know, there's all this sort of thing happening on the ground. I mean, it's the same thing with the trees on the road. It's the shed in front of Town Hall. This everybody says is so ugly and no one will take responsibility for it. So we get into these situations when we don't have a totally transparent process. Everybody in Oroville is part of, let's say, our own Oroville Facebook, to use that word, which some people, you know, also don't like, but we need a network in which everyone is transparently available and what they want to do, what they're doing, where everyone is, it's all clear. Oroville is on the map, and we're conscious of each other as a community. There are people in Oroville, you know, who have lived here for 30 years who have never been to the Greenbelt. Unbelievable. And there's a lot of people in Oroville who have never even been to Sodna Forest. And you know, this is unthinkable, you know, that there are these pockets all over Oroville where most people don't even know about it, and you could spend your whole life in Oroville and never go to a lot of these places. So that all has to change. We have to be, at least in our consciousness, the whole of Oroville has to be alive. And we're working with it and everyone participating. You can't sit in your corner. You can't sit in your little study with your laptop and live your life. No, Oroville is something else. And we're part of that evolutionary change. This is an evolutionary change that's happening on Earth, and it's happening everywhere. And we can't restrict it to, you see, the mother, people talk about the mother and Sri Aurobindo. The mother and Sri Aurobindo are universal forces that are working all over the planet, not just in Oroville. They're working all over the planet, and we have to be tuned into that and keep going with it. And that meeting last week showed me that, you know, we're still at a level where things are ineffective and inefficient and frustrating. And we can get over it, though. We can get over it, even though it's a very hot summer. By next season, I think we'll be into a new... Of course, it's 2012 when everything is supposed to change, so let's hope by 12-12-12 we're all in a new trajectory and moving forward.
We may find, when all the rest has failed, hid in ourselves the key of perfect change. From Sri Aurobindo's Savitri, Canto 10, Kingdoms and Godheads of the Little Mind. You've been listening to Oroville Radio on microphone Marlenka. Queries and comments welcome at orovilleradio.org. Thanks for listening.